We are aware of the member of this committee having an alleged affair with a Chinese spy, I refer to as Yum Yum, but this is a new low for anyone, and I would hope Mr. Swalwell would agree with me.
All right, I just had to show you guys that. Absolutely had to show you that. I'm sorry, we're coming to you a little bit late with today's live program, but it was worth it, was it not? There's all kinds of fireworks going on Capitol Hill right now, and I wanted to at least just play you a little sampling that was the representative from Texas. We're going to get into that, of course. Tempers running very, very high over the what seems to be just kind of a slap on the wrist for Hunter Biden. We'll talk about that. But before we do, did you hear the breaking news? Bud Light, its parent company, Anheuser-Busch, just got the biggest award over in Cannes. It's like the Oscars of the advertising world. And somehow or another, this company, which has lost some $27 billion in market cap ever since the debacle of Dylan Mulvaney, this company got the award for being the most creative advertiser. I mean, you can say that again. These guys were certainly creative. Were they not with this?
Hi. Impressive carrying skills, right? I got some Bud Lights for us. So, I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness. And I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has something to do with sports. And I'm not sure exactly which sport, but either way, it's a cause to celebrate.
Yeah. You know the drill. The stock went down again, some $27 billion worth of market cap. New numbers out today showing that Bud Light sales continue to plunge. They are now down 27% because guess what? People are really upset. And by the way, they're upset on both sides. So this is what you would call a marketing disaster. We're getting into it today, as well as a few other marketing disasters like Disney Pixar's new hit movie. Meanwhile, as they shove all this stuff down our throats, some of you might wonder, what is this whole Sis thing about? Why is Elon Musk in trouble with the mainstream media and the Uber left? Because he now says that Sis, C-I-S, is actually a slur on Twitter. Well, if you don't know what it is, maybe South Park can help.
Cisgender. It's the politically correct name for people who aren't transgender. If you identify with the sex you were born with, then you're cis.
But then cisgender is just normal.
Saying normal is extremely offensive to people who aren't in that group. Trust me, you don't want this hot potato. Just let him.
So actually, South Park is right. It is very offensive. Actually, and we can get into the reasons why, but this whole transgender thing is becoming extremely bitter, extremely angry, and extremely divisive. But I guess that's the goal, right? You know, you tear down a society to rebuild it with yourself in charge. Portions of today's show are brought to you, as always, by LegacyPMInvestments.com. Go check them out if you want to buy gold or silver. LegacyPMInvestments.com, 1-866-589-0560. Okay, Bud Light at $56.69 a share, down again today, more than a tenth of a percent. And it's all despite the big award. The big award. I mean, can you imagine? So the one caveat is this award was actually given a short time before the whole Dylan Mulvaney incident. Apparently, up until then, they were doing just great, creative, beyond the creativity you could ever possibly have imagined. I mean, part of it was all because of the wunderkind Alyssa Heinerschneid, right?
I'm a businesswoman. I had a really clear job to do when I took over Bud Light. And it was, this brand is in decline. It's been in decline for a really long time. And if we do not attract young drinkers to come and drink this brand, there will be no future for Bud Light. So I had this super clear mandate. It's like, we need to evolve and elevate this incredibly iconic brand. And what I brought to that was a belief in, okay, what does evolve and elevate mean? It means inclusivity. It means shifting the tone. It means having a campaign that's truly inclusive and feels lighter and brighter and different and appeals to women and to men. Mm-hmm. And representation is, it's sort of the heart of evolution. You've got to see people who reflect you in the work. And we had this hangover. I mean, Bud Light had been kind of a brand of fratty, kind of out of touch humor. And it was really important that we had another approach.
So, of course, why wouldn't she win the big award at the Cannes advertising version of the Oscars, right? Like, this is a big, big, big deal award. I'll get to what the head of marketing there at Anheuser-Busch had to say about it, because can we just say there's a thread of irony in all of this, in that this probably will go down in modern history as one of the worst marketing debacles ever. They should be studying it at her alma mater, at the CEO's alma mater, which happens to be Harvard University. I think Harvard University and HBS, Harvard Business School, ought to really look into this. I just want to say hello to everyone. Michael Donald, good to see you here. I know you were here earlier for a premiere today. I was interviewing, and we ran some clips. It was actually a taped interview we did earlier, but some clips of the former executive there who ran part of the sales and distribution effort at Anheuser-Busch. That would be Anson Fredericks, and he's now over at Strive Funds, which is like the anti-ESG investing fund. And so Mike was there. I see him live here now in the chat, and thinking it was live, but it was just a premiere. Anyway, good to see you back here. Annalisa, good to see you as well. Davy Jones, great to have you here. James as well, good to see you out there in Arkansas. Yum, yum, you guys are laughing about that. We've got to play that sound again. We're going to get to that as we talk about Hunter Biden today. But before we do, again, back to what happened there with Bud Light. So Bud Light wins the big award, and the irony is pretty darn incredible. Something that was not lost on the head of marketing now, who probably sees his job pretty much on the line. I mean, frankly, everybody there should see their job on the line. When your stock loses $27 billion, when the S&P keeps going higher, you got a problem. You got a problem, sir. When you actually turn over your market share to the likes of Constellation Brands, another American company which actually owns Modelo, the rights to Modelo, right here in the U.S., and now Modelo is number one after Bud Light had been number one, like, for generations. You got problems. You got serious problems. So the head of marketing said, look, it's very humbling, and he accepted the award. But here's the question. Why did they still get the award? There were multiple calls for the awards committee. Again, this is like the Oscars of the advertising industry, a very, very liberal industry. There were lots of calls for them to take this back, to rescind it. But they decided not to. They decided to go forward with it. And all I can say is it must be tremendously awkward to be Anheuser-Busch and get the marketing creativity award of the year when you actually managed to sink your company some $30 billion and possibly take Bud Light out of existence altogether. Yeah, incredible. But this is what these companies are doing over and over and over again. I mean, this elemental flop from Disney Pixar, we're going to talk about that because, gosh, this is the lowest box office receipts the company's seen in 28 years. It's the worst debut in 28 years, like, in the company's history. So something's going on. And I suspect it's the reality that Americans, you know, we just don't want all this stuff pushed down our throats. And people are speaking up in any way that they can. Elon Musk is speaking up as well. We will get to that. But before we do, a quick word from one of our new advertisers. You know, I don't get the chance on this show to talk to you enough about my own personal life and some of the things that I do to keep myself healthy. And so I welcome this opportunity because actually this is something that's super, super important to me. But I'm always talking about the news. Right, because we always have news to discuss, and I don't really tell you a lot about my personal life in terms of what I do to stay healthy every day. So this is a good chance for me to kind of open up and tell you about my routine, which includes vigilantly going to the gym every single day and going for long walks as often as I can. Brisk ones, because I believe this is really critical to staying healthy. I drink a ton of water, as you have commented and noticed here on this set. We don't have any commercials, you see, And if we do, I'm in them. So there's not a lot of opportunity for me to swig that water down in the middle of the traditional commercial break. But anyway, I drink a lot of water. I exercise. I go to the gym and I eat well. But there's something else. There's something else that I've recently discovered and I did want to tell you about because it's a little bit of a secret. And what I can say with certainty is that it has helped me. It has helped me in terms of my energy level. It has helped me in terms of my productivity, and it has helped me in terms of my focus. These are things that are really, really important. So I have been doing some research and I came across a company called StrongCell. StrongCell.com/Trish if you want to check it out and look at all the science that goes into this. You get a discount too if you use my name. I'll tell you more about that in a second. But anyway, StrongCell is a company that helps us replenish something that we lose as we get older, and that's called NADH. And NADH, if you read the studies, is really something that helps us all with our energy and our clarity and our focus. And so I started taking this. It's been like, I don't know, 5-6 weeks or so. And I would say by the fourth week, I really, really started to see a difference. I mean, actually, maybe even by the second, but in fairness, I think it really took about 4 weeks because what it's doing is replenishing this in your body. And I just love it. I mean, it's been really, really, really helpful. And something that I care about my health, and we don't talk about that a lot, but I do very much care about my health and my eating and making sure that I'm working out and taking vitamins. And this is part of that routine now. So I wanted to throw that out at you guys. Take a look at this again, StrongCell.com. I will put the link in the notes, in the show notes below. It's maybe a little on the expensive side, but you know what? I figure I'm worth it. Am I not? And you're worth it too. And you can get 20% off if you use my name, code word Trish. So go check it out. Meanwhile, here's something you probably don't want to check out at the movies. I am going to have to go because my kids have been wanting to see this. I should probably shield them from this stuff, right? But this is the new Disney Pixar film.
Meet the residents of Element City. Usually has their head in the clouds.
Oh, my new jacket!
Earth can be a little seedy.
Nothing weird going on here.
Just a little pruning.
Water is always getting into something.
Help!
And fire? As ordered, we run a little hot.
This shop is dream of our family. Someday it'll all be yours.
But we all live by one simple rule.
Elements cannot mix.
You get it? Elements cannot mix. There's a theme here. There's a Disney Pixar theme. Just like there's a theme at Bud Light. Just like there's a theme pretty much everywhere these days. Just like there's a theme at Target. You know what? You better play by the rules or else. But we're going to make sure that we indoctrinate you along the way, right? We're going to make sure you know what those rules are. So there's a theme here that is kind of unavoidable, which would be the fire and ice. Like fire and ice or fire and water, forgive me, fire and water are never, ever supposed to mix off limits. And so this is the story of a young girl who's trying to grow up to take over her family's store. They run like some kind of little shop. They're not really welcome in the neighborhood because, well, they're fire and people don't really like fire. So she's got this, her family's got this like little corner store, bodega type thing, and it's becoming more successful. And somehow one day she bursts a pipe and she stumbles across some water. And so there's this friendship that develops between the water and the fire. And the moral of the story is, you know, basically that elements don't mix, but maybe they can. And so they're kind of, you know, in their own little way, force feeding this constant message. And look, it's fine. Like we are all very, very, I think, very empathetic, kind, open, giving people as Americans. It's part of our culture. And it's just a little annoying when we have to go to the movies and hear about it some more. Well, apparently I'm not alone in thinking that because when you look at the box office receipts, oh boy, this company Pixar, like, they're in trouble. They are in so much trouble that I've heard they've started this huge ad campaign on Nickelodeon, trying desperately to get people in somehow, some way, because the box office receipts have been that bad. Worst debut in 28 years for Elemental. But again, people don't want to hear it. I mean, do you? It's like, we don't want to drink it. We don't want to have to see it at the movies constantly. Enough already. Enough already. And yet, apparently it's not. So Elon Musk, guys, Elon Musk is in some serious, serious trouble, because if you were on Twitter this morning, you would see he was responding to somebody who was complaining that he was getting targeted and being called a cis. And he said, look, I don't want to be called a cis. I consider that kind of a hateful thing to say. So Elon Musk responded saying repeated targeted harassment against any account will cause the harassing accounts to receive at minimum temporary suspensions. The word cis or cisgender are considered slurs on this platform. Oh, you can imagine how the mainstream media is reacting to this one. I mean, just go over to Daily Beast and some of these others. Everybody's freaking out. Even over at Forbes are like, whoa, you know, suddenly cis is a slur on Twitter. But there's some stuff that's going into this. I think it's fascinating that South Park was onto this 8 years ago. I'm going to show you some parts of a season. I think it was, was this season 18? And or rather... Episode 18, this is the one where the character, Eric, he decides, because he's annoyed about having to wait for the bathroom, that he's just going to put a pink bow in his hair and he will go to the girls' bathroom during recess. And the girls aren't so happy about that. And a whole thing ensues. The whole name of this episode, by the way, is Sissy. And Sissy is spelt with a C. It's all about the whole cisgender thing.
What the do you think you're doing?
I'm going to the potty.
This is the girls' bathroom.
All right, I need to tell you something, Wendy. I'm transgender.
What?
Did you notice the bow? I'm not comfortable with the sex I was assigned at birth, so I'm exercising my right to identify with the gender of my choice. Now get out of my way, I have to take...
Cartman is using our bathroom.
Dude, this is awesome. I should have used the girls' bathroom a long time ago.
Hey, I'm gonna tell on you.
It's okay, Red. I can take a here. I'm a...
They're great. Are they not great? I mean, 8 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, talking about being ahead of their time. Anyway, so you might be saying, like, what is a cis? What is a cis? We'll get to that in a second. But first of all, here is Eric, character Eric, going and seeing the school principal, who's like, wait a second, you can't do this. You can't do this. And he's like, yeah, I can. I'm Erica today.
What makes you think it's okay to go inside the girls' bathroom?
Because I'm transgender. I looked it up. That means I can use the girls'.
You are not transgender, Eric. You don't even know what that means.
Yeah, huh? It means I live a life of torture and confusion because society sees me as a boy, but I'm really a girl.
All right, listen, Eric.
Erica.
Listen, Eric. You must know why we can't have you in the girls' bathroom.
All I know is I'm transgender, and you can't make me go to the bathroom with the cisgenders.
With the what?
You hear what she said? With the what? The cisgenders. He's like, you can't make me go with the cisgenders. So she goes higher up the food chain to figure out what that is. And here's the response.
Cisgender. It's the politically correct name for people who aren't transgender. If you identify with the sex you were born with, then you're cis.
But then cisgender is just normal.
Saying normal is extremely offensive to people who aren't in that group. Trust me, you don't want this hot potato. Just let them use the girls' room.
But this isn't a hurting, confused child we're talking about. This is Eric Cartman.
Nobody else is going to know that. You better just give him what he wants.
So Eric Cartman just has us in some kind of bathroom checkmate?
Actually, it's more like a royal flush.
That's good. That's really good. A royal flush. Cartman's got us in a royal flush. It's kind of like where we are today as a society, right? You're not allowed to say anything back. So this whole cisgender thing is all about somehow labeling anybody that actually thinks that they might be the gender they are as cis. And it is used in a derogatory way by those that are transgender or those that are so elite and sophisticated that somehow they don't just assume they're whatever gender they come into the world as. They get to decide their gender years later. I mean, forget that you have certain body parts and certain chromosomes that would make you a male or female. You get to decide that on your own. And it, if you're somebody who just accepts it, who's just like, yeah, I was born a girl and I kind of like being a girl, or I was born a guy and I just accept being a guy, like I am a guy. And if you don't question it, then you're a cis. You're a cisgender. And this is being used in a derogatory way to be like, you moron, you don't get it. You're so dumb, you actually believe the gender to be whatever you came out as, because you're not enlightened and you're not thinking about the world the way we sophisticated elites are thinking about it. I mean, I just said, guys, you're overthinking it, like really, really overthinking it. And I say this, by the way, as somebody who has tremendous compassion for anybody who's going through the mental health challenges that would accompany something like this. If you don't think you are the gender that you were born as, of course, that's got to be a tremendous emotional burden. And I'm not underestimating that or mocking that in any way. But I am saying it's a little rude and weird of them to mock those of us who just kind of accept ourselves as we are. Right? So now Elon Musk is getting raked over the coals because he dared to say, now, this is not right, and we're going to actually fight back against this, and I'm going to label this a slur. I mean, people just don't know what to think over this guy. All right, you know who else they don't know what to think about? Tony Nels out of Texas, who was just moments ago on the House floor, and he's all rip-roaring mad. There's the Durham investigations going on, right? The hearings going on. And it's like, wait a second. Like, consider what happened. Let's go back to that day. Well, I'll play the sound in just a second. Let's go back to the whole ordeal. After Donald Trump won the election in 2016, the FBI began investigating him because they believed he might be somehow an agent of the Russians, that the Russians had the goods on him, that there was this really disgusting tape that existed. I'm not going to get into the particulars. By the way, Tony Nels did. I had to clean it up a little. He, in fairness to him, he did say, hey, parents, if you got kids watching at home, make sure that you turn down the TV or take them out of the room. So he went through the particulars of that tape, which sparked this whole investigation. Of course, this was all opposition research. Don't forget Fusion GPS, which had been hired by Perkins Coie, which was the law firm that was representing Hillary Clinton. And so there were like layers and layers. So they could do all this opposition research and somehow pin all this nonsense on Donald Trump. Again, I've told you this before, but I, at the time, like any normal journalist, by the way, like I do this with everything. I figure everybody is innocent until proven guilty. And let me see how the facts stack up. I read the thing. By the way, BuzzFeed published it. BuzzFeed, which is now out of business. Anyway, I read the thing and I'm like, this is like some kind of opposition research written by a political firm to be hand-delivered to Star Magazine or the National Enquirer or something like that. I mean, God help us if that's what our intelligence department is coming up with. I mean, it did not read in any way, shape, or form like a piece of actual intel. It read like smut and garbage. And it was so off the walls. And of course, Tony Nels knew that it was really off the walls too. And he pointed all this out as he was talking with Durham. And the crazy thing about it is somehow Eric Swalwell, who was head of the committee there that was doing all the, you know, the intel investigation. How is it that Eric Swalwell got off like scot-free when he was having this alleged relationship with a woman who was alleged to be a Chinese spy named Fang Fang? But Representative Nels came up with a much better name for Fang Fang. Listen.
We are aware of the member of this committee having an alleged affair with a Chinese spy. I refer to as Yum Yum. But this is a new low for anyone. And I would hope Mr. Swalwell would agree with me.
My first reaction is that he continues the show.
Oops, that's Kevin McCarthy. We can get to him in a second. But, you know, kudos to Nels for calling it out and doing so with a little bit of humor there. Yum, yum. Sounds better than Fang Fang, right? Anyway, the point being that as we look at everything that's unfolded, as we consider that dossier, as we consider that our own FBI was wiretapping the Trump campaign back in 16, as we consider that Hunter Biden's getting off with seemingly just a little slap on the wrist and nothing more. While Hillary Clinton had a server in her home and like that went, you know, all on, all while the former president of the United States could be facing jail time because he took boxes that, you know what, I will say this, he should have played ball with them. He should have been like, okay, you guys want my gym socks? Here you go. He kind of dug himself into more and more trouble, obviously, and I can't explain all the reasons for that, but I will say that it's looking really suspicious. When Hunter Biden is the son of the president and there's an investigation that goes all the way back to 2018, in other words, 5 years of an investigation, and the House Oversight Committee has come forward saying, okay, we found some multi-millions of dollars that were going to multi-members of the Biden family coming from foreign accounts. Well, that kind of stuff is illegal if, in fact, they were trading on the name for some kind of access to Joe Biden. And, of course, Burisma comes up. Allegedly, according to Grassley, there are tapes, some 17 tapes, with Hunter Biden and Joe Biden talking with some people that were sort of offering these alleged bribes to the tune of $10 million, five for Hunter and five for the big guy. I mean, if any of that is true, we get real problems. And we're not getting any answers on that. Somehow they think that this is going to make it all go away. It's not. And Kevin McCarthy is absolutely right. They need to investigate more. Here he is. I played this for you yesterday. I'm going to play it again.
My first reaction is it continues to show the two-tier system in America. If you are the president's leading political opponent, the DOJ tries to literally put you in jail and give you prison time. If you are the president's son, you get a sweetheart deal. Now, this does nothing to our investigation. It actually should enhance our investigation because the DOJ should not be able to withhold any information now, saying that because of pending investigation, they should be able to provide Chairman.
So I don't know about that. That's the one caveat in this, because David Weiss, he's the prosecuting attorney here. He has said on record that the investigation is not over. So what exactly is going on? It's not over. Oh, it's not over because they don't actually want to turn anything over to Kevin McCarthy. Listen, if in fact there's some there, and according to the House Oversight Committee, indeed there is, then we have every right as Americans to understand that, to know about it. Consider what Comey did in his investigation into Donald Trump. It's then why we had to have the Mueller investigation. It's why we had to have the Durham report. I mean, the oxygen that was sucked out of the room for the last couple of years, last however many years, going all the way back to 16, insane, insane. And for what? And for what? Meanwhile, all while the you know, I feel bad for the kid, the guy. I mean, he's older than me. I feel bad for him. Clearly, he has had his share of problems, but that doesn't give him the right to skirt the law. Just because your dad is president, I'm sorry.
First of all, my son's done nothing wrong. I trust him. I have faith in him. And it impacts my presidency by making me feel proud of him.
Proud, proud, proud. Yeah, there you go. I see a lot of you coming to us on Facebook as well. Again, we are here with you today, both on Facebook Live and on YouTube Live. So I welcome all of you. Davey, good to see you. Craig, you're asking, where are the January 6th tapes of McCarthy? It's a good point, right? Weren't we supposed to get all those? Tucker was fired. He was doing the big investigation into it. You know what? Maybe it'll come on his show, in all seriousness, because, you know, Twitter's been obviously a whole lot different in terms of a platform. And those were things that were being leaked specifically to Tucker Carlson. I mean, I said at the time, I didn't love it only because I'm a big believer in everybody seeing everything and having that kind of transparency. And what I'd like to see from McCarthy is everybody having access to it. He did say, as you'll recall, and so Craig, I'm impressed that you remember that. He did say that he was going to release it to everyone. They just wanted to make sure that they had all the security concerns ironed out ahead of time. But it's important not to forget about that. You know, look at, is it T. Lawton? Thank you. I'm not old. You know, Hunter is definitely older than me, but it's funny. Like, I think of him as a kid. I mean, the guy is just a complete mess. But we think of him, why would I even say kid? I think they want us to kind of think of him as a kid, right? He's like, my boy, I'm so proud of my boy. Here is the president of the United States yesterday. It's very hard to hear. He's getting a question from one of the reporters. Listen in.
I'm very proud of my son.
Yeah, he's proud. He's just a proud father. Yeah, he's really proud. He's proud of all the grandkids except for one that he doesn't acknowledge. When he talks about his grandkids, he always forgets the one that his boy there had out of wedlock. I paused as I said out of wedlock because I was just reading an article about the term wedlock, and people are so upset by that term and upset by the tradition even of marriage, which I was going to talk about later this week. But it just reminds me that all of these norms are being torn down and just torn apart, and it's being done so for political reasons. The wedlock issue comes up because it was in an article recently by the Daily Mail where they pointed out that in the UK, more than 50% of all babies now are being born out of wedlock. In other words, to single mothers. The numbers are significantly high here in the US. I remember doing an opinion piece actually for USA Today a number of years ago about how that actually was taking a toll on our economy because you didn't have enough households sort of starting up. And all the spending that goes with it, right? Because, you know, Home Depot always benefits when people get married and then they have babies and they're painting the baby room. And look, there's a big part of establishing a household that actually has a very important component for our economy. And, you know, I look at everything through an economic lens. So it's kind of fun to look at even family and culture through that economic lens. But they're trying to destroy it. And they'll destroy a whole lot in the process, including the economy, but also the importance of our families. And I'll just tell you this. It is not easy raising children, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone to have to do alone. And if you think you can count on the state, right? Remember Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village. If you think you can count on the state and Uncle Sam to help you, forget about it. Forget about it. Uncle Sam helps those on top, at the very tippy top, that have all the say and can pull all the levers and all the strings. They help their family. You know, just call daddy. Call Uncle Joe. That'll work for you. And they help maybe people in the very, very bottom. I mean, think about all the migrants coming to the United States of America and getting put in hotels. In some cases, in the city of New York, there was a lot of criticism because the fear was that people who were actually veterans and needed these hotel rooms were getting thrown out in favor of migrants. Look, even New York has admitted they can't handle it. New York is suffering with the number of migrants that have come in. We've seen Chicago complain about it. They all think it's fine for Texas to do, right? I'm sorry. It is not fair. We are still the United States of America. Anyway, looking at some of your comments here, John Palmer, good to see you again, saying that Hunter learned, I see it's a comment there, to Mike. Again, we are live right now on YouTube and on Facebook. So great to have all of you guys here. I do want to remind you, if you have not subscribed to the audio version of the show, that gets posted shortly after. So that'll go up in a couple of hours on Apple. Go over to Apple Podcasts, Spotify as well. I'm there on Spotify too. Some of you have said to me, you don't have Apple, but you do have Spotify. So go over there. It's all free. And I would love it if you could just follow the show. Just follow the show so that you get the download every day. It's really important. It helps the algorithm, by the way. And, you know, if you could be so gracious as to maybe leave a little review or something, that always helps too. You know, Elias saying migrants are the future of Democrats. And that is why the border is open. Yes and no. So look, I hear you, Elias. I think they think it is the future. But have you noticed, I mean, look at the Florida voting situation, or look at Texas. So many of there was the congressional district that flipped, and it was actually the Hispanic voters that flipped it because, well, a lot of Hispanics, they have a very Western and Catholic upbringing. They are coming here, hopefully, to work hard and get a better shot at things. Now, if you're coming here for the right reasons and you're getting ahead, do you think you appreciate it if somebody is coming here for the wrong reasons and they don't want to get ahead? Do you think you appreciate it if someone's coming into your neighborhood that is going to invoke violence in that neighborhood? Absolutely not. So then you're going to vote to keep your neighborhood safe, logically, right? As you should. And you're going to hopefully vote to have better economic policy, more freedom in your economy, more freedom to prosper. A lot of Hispanics, surprisingly to the Democrats, have done that. I mean, I could have told them, just, you know, I do speak Spanish and I get a chance to talk to a lot of people that are coming here. And, they want the best for themselves and their families generally, and they don't appreciate it. If they've managed to go through all the hoops to be here legally, they don't appreciate what's happening. And certainly within these border town communities, it's an enormous toll that it takes on all the populations there in terms of the schools, in terms of the hospitals. It's very challenging. So we ought to be able to find a better way to do it, right? We ought to be able to do this legally so that we know who's here in this country. But I hear your point, Elias. I hear your point only in that if they could just have these people vote and not require that you be here legally, just say, and that's happened. To say, okay, you can vote. That's happened in places like, Berkeley. You can vote for the school board even if you are not legally here in the country. It's kind of wild. I mean, it's like, hey, you know, what if I just went on vacation to Mexico or decide I wanted to live in Mexico for the year? Do you think they'd let me vote in an election? Absolutely not. By the way, I'd have to have the proper visas to be able to live there that long. I mean, that's just part of being a country. And we shouldn't forget that. Again, I'm looking at your comments. You see me here looking over to the side. Davey talking about investing. I appreciate that, Davey, because you know what? That is actually a lot of what I do focus on. Sometimes we get distracted by the politics and the insanity of what's going on. Did I tell you about my friend who said, hey, make sure that you buy Molson Coors when the whole Bud Light scandal started to unravel? I did tell you guys that. I don't like to give stock tips per se, because I think it's really important that everybody do their own research and really understand what they're investing in. But I do talk at a very macro level about these big economic issues. I'm going to talk about Amazon in a second, because guess who's getting sued? Amazon is getting sued by the Biden administration, Lina Khan. We're going to get to that. But overall, the market right now, you guys are talking about silver. Charles Thorngren was on the show. I think his interview is actually premiering later today. He's the CEO of Legacy Precious Metals, one of our sponsors here on the program. You know I talk about interest rates a lot. You know I talk about inflation a lot. These are things that are very important, obviously, to Charles and his business, and something that he has really devoted his career to. He's very concerned. He actually told me last November we're going to have a huge banking incident this year. And, well, he was right on that one, right? The regional banks. And we're now in a really kind of a jam, because the Fed is saying, okay, we're still going to hike. We're planning on a couple more hikes this year. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't know how they're going to do it when all of these regional banks are kind of on the hook in that they made really dumb decisions and they went super long on treasuries when they were paying, like, what, 1%? You were getting a lousy 1%. Well, if they keep hiking rates, you see, interest rates go up. So if you're at 4% on the treasury now, well, you're going to be at 5% or you're at 6%. And so what do those banks do? And they've got all this debt on their balance sheet and they have to mark to market every single day because they have to know what they have. That's part of their responsibility. And that debt keeps declining in value. Are you not going to have more bank problems? So that's sort of the thing that's hanging out there, right, in the future. Not to mention that, you know, when the Fed starts hiking rates, it makes everyone nervous. Now, the interesting thing about what Charles is saying, and I encourage you to go listen to the interview. Again, it will be coming up later this afternoon as a premiere on the show. Listen to his interview, because he's actually making the point that it will weaken, and you got to kind of follow the logic. He actually thinks it's actually going to help gold when they do this, in part because, and this is scary, but his thesis is that when they do raise rates, it's going to aggravate the system even more and the banks even more, which will actually cause additional problems, and everybody's going to be flocking to gold perhaps as a result of that. We're looking at gold right now, still around $2,000 an ounce. It had gotten as high, I'll get to silver in a second, but it had gotten as high as $2,040. That was a few months ago. It's backed off right now at $19.45.80 an ounce. Silver at $22.75, down 2% today. Copper's up, oil's up, crude oil is up about 2%. All right, Amazon getting sued. What do you think of that? So I kind of like this. I mean, I like her. It's a love-hate relationship, shall we say, with Lina Khan. This is the woman who is Bezos' nemesis. Maybe that's why I like her. Anyway, she came out with a report. Yeah, they're down 0.5%, $125.12 a share. Lina Khan came out with a report years ago when she was at Yale. This is here for the Yale Law Review or the Yale Law Journal, forgive me. And she's talking about why Amazon is actually a monopoly. Gulping my water again, so forgive me, those that are listening on the audio show. Anyway, on Apple or on Spotify. Anyway, if you look at the screen here, I have the Yale Law Journal article up by Lina Khan. And she talked about how Amazon was actually a monopoly. Like, there's some real antitrust concerns, she said, with Amazon. And she said this because they're effectively into everything, right? That because they're in all these different lines of business, that they have too much sway and too much say. She said, and I'll read from it, "We cannot cognize the potential harms to competition posed by Amazon's dominance if we measure competition primarily through price and output." She's saying, hey, you know what? We've got to look at monopoly different right now. She goes on, specifically, current doctrine underappreciates the risk of predatory pricing and how integration across distinct business lines may prove anti-competitive. Wow. Thank you, Lina Khan. Because this has been my argument all along. Like, look, you look at Amazon, and I've said it's kind of a monopoly. But then somebody who's like a legal scholar in this would, you know, an antitrust person would come back at me and say, but how can it be a monopoly? Because Amazon is actually ensuring that people get lower prices for everything. And I'm like, yeah, but for how long? Right? And by the way, think about other aspects in which Amazon actually can hurt people, like the sellers. What are the fees that they charge sellers? What about if you are an Amazon affiliate? There are a lot of influencers, for example, that will have Amazon products that they advertise, and they can really reduce commissions quite significantly. I mean, there's just a lot of different, basically it's too big. That's how I look at it. And it frightens me when a company becomes that big and therefore has that much sway. And so Lina Khan actually recognizes the same things, and she's making the anti-competitive. It's not a, you know, it's not an American company that is traditional in that it can be in this competitive environment because it has such influence. And so I think it's very interesting. That's not the lawsuit she's bringing today. In fact, Lina Khan is actually targeting Amazon for different reasons, saying that basically they forced people to sign up for Prime. They're suing Amazon over what they call manipulative tactics to enroll users in Prime. I don't know. I kind of like Prime. I use Prime, right? Like, it's kind of a good deal because it's like free shipping. What do they charge now? Some $80 a year. It may have gone up to you guys now. I mean, she's alleging here that they duped millions of customers into Prime subscriptions and made it difficult to cancel their subscriptions to the program. I don't know about that. I mean, I think she's trying to be creative. She's trying to use the law to go after this company. I would only caution that this is a very anti-business administration, so I don't love that, but and I would prefer that they go after this in a traditional sense, like to say, okay, this is actually a monopoly. But this is creative nonetheless. We do have an update I want to bring you right now. We've been following this whole Titanic sub, the submersible that had gone down. This just horrible story. And we're all kind of holding our breaths and saying a prayer, of course, that these people are found. The good news is, and we like to be able to talk about the good news, is that they have located these banging noises underwater. And according to the latest report that's just coming in, they have been able to now focus on a particular area where they are detecting these banging noises. The clock is ticking. The oxygen is running out. This was a tourist sub that went down to try and see that wreckage, which is 12,000 feet underwater, just the very, very bottom of the ocean, and very difficult to have any kind of manned vehicle down there. In fact, you can only use robots. And so what has happened in this particular case, and you're probably quite aware of it, is that it lost contact with the mothership. Once you get down there, it can be really dangerous. Things can get flattened very quickly. And there's not really, if you don't have the right kind of machine to be down there, we just don't. We don't have the technology in terms of the rescue ships, then it can be really, really tough. So the good news is they've heard this banging. I can't even imagine what these people are going through. They had about 96 hours total in oxygen supply. So obviously time is running out. And we're hopeful. We're hopeful that they're able to make it. It's just a very, very sad, sad situation. Anyway, I hate to leave you on that note. Should we play the representative from Texas again, just for fun?
We are aware of the member of this committee having an alleged affair with a Chinese spy. I refer to as Yum Yum. But this is a new low for anyone. And I would hope Mr. Swalwell would agree with me.
My first reaction is that he continues to...
Right. Oh, I couldn't help myself. You should go listen to the whole thing. I can't play. We got to keep it clean for the kids. But it's worth hearing. It's worth hearing. Those hearings are going to continue going on. Still lots of questions. Yes, we do increasingly look, unfortunately, like a banana republic. It was bound to happen sooner or later, right? Great to have you here. I forgot to ask you to subscribe. Do that for me, if you would. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel here on YouTube. If you're watching on Facebook, subscribe to my page over there. It's wonderful to have you. As always, we'll be back tomorrow with much, much more. I'll see you then. Have a great afternoon.